Well, when you get on at 11 minutes after on Sunday morning, that's early. That's a record. I was looking in my records this morning as I got up and looked outside, and last year, the snow Sunday was the next week, the 18th of February. But we have the snow Sunday today, and I hope it's the only one we have of the year. And I'm so glad you're here, because I'm sure you made a special effort to be here, and I trust you won't go home disappointed. Tonight, we'll be having the service tonight in the will of God, and we'll be having our regular ministry from the book of Ephesians. And so I'd suggest you be with us tonight, and we'll be enjoying a study in that book. Now, I had planned to speak from the book of Ephesians this morning, but I'm not going to. I'm going to speak on something else. I hadn't planned this. If you had asked me a half hour ago what I was going to speak on, I wouldn't have told you what I'm going to speak on this morning. So will you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, please? The book of the Revelation. I, in my personal study, am making an intensive study of the book of Revelation. I started at the beginning of the year, and I'm only in chapter 8. And I'm enjoying a personal study of this book. And probably there will be some messages coming in the future from this book of the Revelation, because it's really something that has been thrilling my heart. And we'll see as we read at the beginning at the first verse of the first chapter this morning that we get a special blessing from the consideration and the reading of this book. There's no other book in the Bible that you're promised a blessing because you read it. Now, you do get a blessing, but this is the one book where you're told that you get a blessing because you read it. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our God, we're thankful again that we can meet together as we are this morning. We thank Thee that the Word of God never changes. The weather changes, but God never changes. And we're thankful that we have the Word of God, which is Thine unchanging Word. It's forever settled in heaven. And we thank Thee for this. And we thank Thee that we can meet together this morning unhindered and invited to come here to look into Thy Word. And we pray, our Father, that as we consider this portion from Thy Word this morning, that it may be a real blessing to all our hearts. We realize that sometimes the outside and extraneous things would hinder our thinking and hinder our concentration. And so, our Father, we're asking Thee for special divine guidance, special illumination, and special help. And if Satan would be here, and he is, because he doesn't like it where God is proclaimed, and so we would pray for protection against his wiles and his intrusions by the blood of Christ. And Lord, we just pray that our coming together this morning may be for special blessing and benefit. We think of the children that are meeting together in the other part of the building, and we just pray that Thou wilt meet their needs, encourage them and the teachers there, and we just pray that through this day, Thou wilt be glorified, our hearts will be blessed. And any spiritual deposits which are made in our lives, we'll thank Thee for it, Lord Jesus. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, commencing at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore witness or record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from God, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us or loveth us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us a kingdom of priests, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. And God will bless to us this portion we have read from His Word. Let me give you just a little introduction to the book of the Revelation. Did you notice in verse 1 that we have a very significant little word, one that's very ordinary? It's the word things. Things. Now, that's very significant. You say, now, why is it significant? Turn over to chapter 1 and verse 19. Chapter 1 and verse 19, and we have this word repeated three times. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Here you have, ladies and gentlemen, the division of the entire book of the Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 19 with that little word, things. Notice it again. The things which thou hast seen. That's chapter 1. The things which are. That's chapters 2 and 3. And the things which shall be hereafter. That's chapter 4 to the end. There's the whole outline for the book of Revelation, and it's all alluded to in chapter 1 and verse 1 with that little word, things. The things. Now notice something else in chapter 1 and verse 1. Do you notice it has the little word, signified? Now that's another unusual little word. Now, if you take that word and break it down, like I have done, you'll find that the word says signified. Signified. Did you know that the book of the Revelation is a book filled with signs? It's almost all signs, things of the future. Now, you notice how it's broken down, things which thou hast things, seen, things which are, and things which shall be. And most of it, beginning at verse 4, is just a book of signs. So again, you have a key word in verse 1. Things and signs. And then let me mention again what we have in verse 3, which is so important. Blessed is he that readeth. You came here this morning, and I hope you are looking for a blessing. You already got one. Because God has promised a blessing to everyone, and I hope you were reading as I was reading. God has promised a blessing to everyone that readeth and those that hear the words of the book of this prophecy. But now coming to chapter 1 and verse 4, and this is where we want to break in this morning. Again, I want to point out another little word. Now, I pointed out two, the word things, the word signs are signified. And now in chapter 1 and verse 4, we are introduced to another little word. It's the word from. And I have it underlined in my Bible. We have the word from twice in verse 4. And again, we have it in verse 5. And if you underline those words from and connect them, you'll find out that you have a reference to the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me just point it out. In verse 4, from him who is and who was and who is to come. That's God the Father. Then from the seven spirits or the sevenfold spirit who is before his throne. That's God the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 5, and from Jesus Christ who is the faithful witness. So you have in this opening verse, these opening verses, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now when you come to verse 5, you are introduced to the person of the Lord Jesus in verse 5. Notice what it says about him, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. That's the Lord Jesus' ministry as prophet. And then it says, the first begotten from the dead. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry as priest. And then it says, the prince of the kings of the earth. That's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as king. Here we have the Lord Jesus described in his threefold ministry, prophet, priest, and king. And then that is to do with his person. But we also have an explanation of what is to do with his work in verses 5 and 6. And this is where we want to home in this morning. Notice in verse 5, unto him that loved us. That's part of his work. Unto him that washed us, verse 5. And then verse 6, unto him that made us. So you see, we have some very significant things. We are bound to get a blessing this morning because we've read a part of this book. We find out that this is a book filled with signs. We find out how the entire book of the Revelation has been divided. We find out that we have a reference here to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We find that we have reference here to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And we also have reference to the work of the Lord Jesus, who loved us, washed us, and made us. Now that's a pretty good basis for a message, and this is where we want to come this morning. But notice that thing in verse 5. Unto him that loveth us, or loved us. You know what I'd like to call that this morning? The great affection. He loved us. He loved us. I think there are about 20 of us here at the communion service this morning, maybe 25. And I looked at those emblems as they were there on that table. You know what I said? Don, he loves you. He loves you. There were the emblems, the proof that he loves me. I don't know if you've ever thought of that, but those emblems are mighty significant. They don't say anything, but they speak volumes. And I looked at that bread which speaks of the body, and I watched as a brother broke that bread, and I realized it spoke of the body of my blessed Lord Jesus, which was bruised and broken on Calvary's cross. And I said, Donnie loves you. And then I watched as the cup was passed, and I was able to take part of it and remember my Lord and remember his blood which was shed for me. And I had to say it again, Donnie loves you. Unto him that loved us. You know what John says? Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. That thou couldst love a wretch like me and be the God thou art is darkness to my intellect, but it's sunshine to my heart. He loves me. No wonder Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 those lovely words, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, I can get awfully enthused about that. He loves me. The great affection. And that's part of what our Lord Jesus is. God is love. But you know, you can say all about it, but you got to prove it, and he proved it. He proved his love. I can tell my wife all day I love her, but it's a nice thing when I try to prove that I really love her. The Lord Jesus Christ not only said, I love you, but he proved his love. The great affection. He loved us. Well, then let's look at the next one. Not only does it say he loved us or he loveth us in verse 5, but it also says he washed us. Now, if the great affection is that he loved us, I would suggest to you that the great thing about this is that he washed us. It's the great purification. This is the great purification. He washed us. Do you remember that great big list of sins that were against us? Keep this place. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, will you please? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's break in at verse 9. These are very familiar words to us. Keep this place, though. We're coming back to Revelation 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not, or don't you know, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now let me stop right there. These people at Corinth and these people at the Corinthian church, there were people in that church that were guilty of every one of those sins. Everyone. If you ever read the history of Corinth, you'd understand what I'm saying. You wouldn't hardly dare to speak about it in a mixed, in a public audience. Let me just say one thing. In the worship in Corinth, they had in the temple there 1,000 prostitutes who were part of the religious worship and ritual of all things. You notice that list? What a dreadful list. But now notice verse 11. And such were some of you. Do you notice that? They were included in that list, and such were some of you. But notice the next words, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know the biggest word in that whole verse? The word were. Circle it. Make color it. Ye were, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Now come back to our chapter. Not only do we have the great affection that He loved us, but we have the great purification. He washed us. Many is the Lord's Day morning when I have sung these words. Clean every whit. Thou saidst it, Lord. Shall one suspicion lurk? Thine surely is a faithful word, and thine a finished work. I want to tell you something. The man who is standing before you was guilty of some of those sins that we just named. But thank God I've been washed. Purified. How? By my Savior. But notice in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, a couple of the things. He washed us from something, and He washed us in something, and He washed us for something. Well, let's look at those three things. He washed us from our sin. What an amazing thing. Washed, I was a sinner. Everyone here who was saved this morning can say, I was once a lost sinner. And He washed me from my sin. Whew. Wasn't that a great day, Dave, when you got rid of that sin once and for all, eh? God washed me from my sin. But how could He do it? Oh, look at the next one. He washed us in something. He washed us in His blood. You see, it's only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which can cleanse from all sin. That's why as we passed that cup this morning, I thought of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. It was only a symbol, but a very meaningful symbol. And as I realized again, there is a picture of the blood that was shed for me. He washed me from my sin in His blood. You know, I was at the funeral many years ago of a young man who was killed in Korea. His name was Bob Nitz. And Bob was saved, and his body was flown back home, and I stood about 6 feet from his parents as we had the committal service. And then you know how a military funeral is. They gather up the flag. The man very graciously, the officer in charge of the detail that was there, the man took the flag and gave it to the mother and said something like this. He said it very softly, but he said, "We want to thank you for your son who gave his blood for his country." I was impressed. Then a man out in the distance sounded taps. But you know, that was only Bob Nitt's blood. The Lord Jesus washed us from our sin in his own blood. And that's precious blood. Brethren and sisters, I will never get over the thrill to know that when Jesus Christ shed his blood, it was precious blood. Blood that was so pure it could wash our sins away. Well, he washed us from something. He washed us in something. And then he washed us for something. Now, why did he do this? Why did he save us? Well, many people say to get us to heaven. That's right. And he did. Thank God. But you know, he washed us for more purposes than that. Oh, I'm sure everyone who is saved this morning can say, "Thank God I'm on my way to heaven." But you know why he washed us also? To worship and to serve him. That's why he washes. He wants us to work for him, to worship him, and to serve him. You know, I don't do things in my home because my wife beats me over the head and makes me do them. I do them because I like to do it, because I love her. One of the reasons why I enjoy serving my Lord so much is because I love him. I know he loves me. We've already thought of that. But I like to serve him because I love him. Well, the great affection, he loved us. The great purification, he washed. He washed us from something. He washed us in something. He washed us for something. But now thirdly, in verse 6, and hath made us. You see, he not only loved us, he not only washed us, but he made us. Now, if he loved us as the great affection, and he washed us as the great purification, the word that words he made us is the great transformation. What did he make us? May I suggest a couple things he made us? First of all, he made us sons. Sons and daughters. The day I was born, I was not a son of God. I was a creature of God. But the day I was saved, I became a son of God. And if you're a lady here, you became a daughter of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth it not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. He made us sons. Nice to be a son in the family. It's nice to be in the family. And he made us sons. Now, that's where the gospel comes in. You see, a person isn't in the family of God until they receive Christ as Savior. And when they receive him through faith in Christ Jesus, as Galatians 3:26 says, when we receive Christ as Savior, then we're a son in the family. And this is a great transformation. I was a renegade. I was outside. Without God and without hope in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, what a transformation. He made us sons. But then there's something else he made us. And this is almost too good to be true. He made us saints. Saints. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:18. Saints. When we were studying the opening verses of the first chapter of Ephesians, we thought of that. Saints. I'm not very saintly, but I'm a saint. The day I was brought into God's family, he made me a saint. And you know what? You'll never get to be a saint when you get to heaven. You're a saint down here, and that's what gets you to heaven. That's the way it works. Well, somebody did some great things in 1793, so we'll make him a saint. Oh, rubbish. When a person is born again, he's made a saint. And it's only the saints who are in heaven. And every person who is in heaven today is there because he's a saint. Because God made him that way. When they receive Christ as personal Savior. Well, he made his sons. He made us saints. Now we got one more thing. He made us subjects. Kings and priests to our God. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people of his own, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Kings and priests to God. Don't think me facetious this morning, but I'm a priest. Did you know that? And I got my tie on just like everybody else has. I'm a priest to God. What an amazing thing. A priest to God. What does a priest do? What did a priest do in the Old Testament? He served God. What did a priest do in the Old Testament? He led the people in the worship of God. What did a priest do in the Old Testament? He offered the sacrifice to God. What does a New Testament priest do? He worships God. What does a New Testament priest do? He offers the sacrifice of praise to God. The praise to God continually, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Well, you know, I'm kind of enjoying this morning. Just think of it. The great affection. He loved us. The great purification. He washed. The great transformation. He made us sons. He made us saints. And he made us subjects. I don't know if I ever told this story or not, but it bears repeating anyway. In a little cathedral on the European continent is some very beautiful statuary. It's beautiful. There is one particular piece of statuary work that is outstanding. It's the work of, it's the statues of a couple, a young couple, who seemingly are in the prime of life. And it's really beautiful with one exception. The right hand of the young lady on that statue has been severed. You know, many of those cathedrals in Europe are open all the time and they have trouble with vandals. And so for a long time, it was thought that this was the work of vandals who had tried to deface these statues. But little did they know the story. It seems that many, many years before, there was a young man who was sent out on the crusade. You remember when those crusaders went down to the Muslim countries? And they went on these crusades in order, they thought it was a religious thing and it was really a very poor thing to do, but they did it anyway. And this young man went out. But before he went out, he became engaged to a lovely girl. They really loved each other, but they felt they should wait until he returned from the war to become married. He left her, kissed her goodbye, and he went on one of those sailing ships. He entered into the battle, and the battle became very fierce. And unfortunately, he was captured by the Muslim general Saladin. He was taken a prisoner of war. He was incarcerated for many days. And one day he was brought before General Saladin, and it was sort of a mock trial, but the young man went to plead for his life. Didn't know what to do. Caught red-handed. Everything was against him. So he racked his brain, and he finally thought of this. He said, "General, sir, if you take my life, there's a young lady back in Europe that is going to die of grief." General thought, "What a ridiculous thing that is." "So what? You're a prisoner." But you know, the general had a soft spot in his heart, and he thought, "Well, now, maybe this is true." And the young man seemed so intent and so earnest that unusual treatment it was. He said to the young man, he said, "All right, listen. If that young lady loves you as you say she does, she'll be willing to prove her love." He said, "If that young lady will give me her right hand, then I'll know that she loves you. And you'll be set free." Well, you know how messages go in those days. It took months for that message to get back to Europe. Many, many months passed. The young man stayed in solitary confinement for all those months. And finally, one day, there came a parcel addressed to the personal attention of General Saladin. He opened the parcel. He closed it. And the command was given for the prisoner to be set free. He got on board the boat, the young man did, and again it was those sailing vessels. And he sailed back to England. They spent many, many days on the sea. And one day they sighted land. The harbor was in view. And of course the people from the shore knew that the ship was coming in. The young man stood right on the bow of the ship. He wanted to see the people as he came in. As the ship came closer to the dock and the harbor, finally he could make out the people. And they were waving like this and waving like this and trying to get the attention of the people on board the ship. And he looked. And there he saw her, waving her hands, one hand waving, the other hand a stump. When the ship was tied fast to the dock, he went down the gangplank, and he put his arms around her, and he looked her into the face, and then he took that arm, that stump, and he held it in his hand. You know what he said? "She loves me. She loves me." There's the proof of her love. You know what he did? He took her. And he bundled her up in his arm, and she put that right hand under his arm. And they walked away. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to show you something. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. John says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain." What did John see? He saw the risen Christ. But it says he saw a lamb as it had been slain. He saw the risen Christ with the marks of Calvary in his body. And to use my story, he loves me. He's got the marks to prove it. He's got the marks to prove it. Brethren and sisters, one of these days I'm going to be in heaven. I know I'm saved. I have everlasting life because I've received Christ as my Savior. And I'm going to look at those wounds in his hands and in his feet and in his side. You know what I'm going to say? He loves me. He's got the marks to prove it. Well, there, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't think I was going to preach on that this morning. But I trust that God will bless this word to our hearts and that we will never forget the one who loved us and washed us and made us. But now this. There may be someone here this morning and you're not saved. These things are all strange to you. May I tell you that the Lord Jesus died for you. He loved you so much that he died for you, he was buried, and he rose again. And he wants to come into your life. He not only loved you, he wants to wash you. And then he wants to make you a son, a saint, and a subject. May God bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Let's sing in closing. 512.